The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Your kind invitation and your gracious welcome to spend some time on this beautiful campus reminded me of the story of the seminarian who began his homiletics course and had a slight impediment in his speech. So the homiletics prof said, "Why don't we use the old Demosthenes trick? You know, go down to the river and get some small stones and you put it in your mouth, and as your voice culture lessons proceed and you improve, you spit them out. But of course we won't go down to the dirty old Mississippi. Why don't you just use marbles?" And as he produced his messages and practiced with the marbles, finally, one day the president of the SEM said to him, "Son, you're ready to go and take charge of a parish because you have finally lost all your marbles." Having poked around in the corners of human living for 45 years of ministry in different parts of the world, I want to assure you that I was tempted many times to say, "You've lost your marbles." Maybe this is one of those moments. But let's couch it in a rather better language and say it isn't fair. There'll be times when you will say it isn't fair in the stress and the excitement of parish life. You'll be tempted to say that. So you came to the right place this morning, because the historic pericopes have something to say to us when we're tempted to say it isn't fair. The master teller, storyteller, in the gospel today tells us about an estate manager who went to the labor pool and hired some people and said, "You work all the day and I'll give you a day's pay." No trickery, honest contract. Then later on in the morning, he decided he needed some more, and he continued to do this during the day until about 5 o'clock. He realized that if the rain and dew got onto the grapes during the night, he'd lose that harvest, and he needed those grapes brought in, and went and hired some people at the very last minute. And then comes pay time. He starts paying off those that had just worked 1 hour. The old ones that had worked all day said, "Wow, is this guy loose with his green bucks? Imagine if they get so much for 1 hour, what are we going to get?" And when they got paid the same amount. "Hey, we got took. That isn't fair." Of course it's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair in the commercial world today. What do you think, my millennium friend? That's not fair, is it? That's not justice. The union would strike. There'd be terrible problems. It's not fair. And that's the point of the story. It isn't fair. Because as pastors, we're working in a kingdom of grace. And the human understanding of economy is contradictory to God's economy, which is a kingdom of grace, that we live and work in a kingdom of grace. Now, if you think I'm kidding you about saying it isn't fair, some of you wait till April the 20th when you get your call papers. I remember that date. It happens to be my father's birthday, and also Adolf Hitler's. No connection with receiving your call papers. And there'll be one of you who will say, "It isn't fair, honey. We asked to go to Seattle. We're going down to Tampa, where all these old people, snowbirds, come for 6 months of the year from up north." And if it doesn't happen then, it'll happen during your first year when you go to a church council meeting. You'll come home and say, "Honey, it isn't fair. They talked about this and that, and you call them pillars. I don't call those people pillars of the church. I call them caterpillars or concrete pillars or something like that. It isn't really fair." And to think I started the church council asking God the Spirit to fill our lives and help our decisions, it isn't fair. And then we need to go back and be reminded of this story that Jesus told us. I forgot I'm in a kingdom of grace, and I forgot that God's economy is one of grace. Then in the Old Testament lesson, Jeremiah said 5 times the word boast. You'll experience boasting. The first time you ride with some fellow pastors in your circuit to a conference, at least one of them will boast. Just 3 weeks ago, one of the retired pastors, and there are a dime a dozen in Florida, and I'm one of them, who works part-time in a congregation, said, "Do you know what, Temmy? We got $1,700 as a Christmas bonus, and we exceeded our budget by $133,000 for the year." The congregation where I'm a member, I'm not on the staff, we had a deficit of $33,000, so I didn't particularly appreciate the boasting. And then, of course, when you get to conference, one tries to outboast the other. But that's really not what I'm talking about here with Jeremiah. What I've found as I poked around in the corners of human living is in about the last decade, there's been something like a boasting theology has come into the community. And if your pastoral theology prof still tell you to go and visit people in their homes, which is very difficult nowadays with their busy schedules, you can sort of sneak around and see what they read and ask them what they watch on television. And you'll find that they are listening to theology of self-esteem. That's a sort of a nice way of putting boasting. Words like positive self-image, self-regard, self-worth, as if that's now replacing the victorious living in Christ. And there are people telling them on television, unless they've got self-worth, self-esteem, and self-image, they're really not practicing all the Christian virtues. Get your antenna up. Seminarians, listen to that. You will hear it. That self-image, which is simply boasting, is being presented as a necessary Christian virtue. And you're going to say it isn't fair. And you may need to go back to the historic pericope for today, which says, do not let the wise boast in their wisdom. Do not let the mighty boast in their power. Do not let the wealthy boast in their wealth. Okay, if you want to boast, go right ahead, St. Paul says, and we had that in the responsive prayer on Monday. Let nothing be done in vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, like the kingdom of grace and the economy of grace of Jesus. And if you want to boast, St. Paul says, those that glory or boast, let them glory and boast in the Lord. Luther was quite contemporary, you know, with this self-esteem theology. He said, God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We're valuable because God loves us. You'll experience both those things, and you'll be tempted to say it isn't fair. A cowboy who was home on the range where the buffalo roam and the deer and the antelope play stopped in front of a buffalo and said, "You are an ugly creature. You have got shaggy skin and hair. Your shape so funny with bumps all over the place. And your breath smells." And he went back to the herd and he said, "I have heard a discouraging word." I don't want you to take this as a discouraging word. I'd like you to try to take it as proactive, sanctified advice. And remind yourself, when you do say it isn't fair, and when you're under the stress, cum excitement of your new parishes, to remember that the Christian church is a community of reconciliation, and that we live in God's grace and mercy day by day. We live in a state of grace and of mercy. That's what Jesus said, and that's what Jesus did. Remember St. Peter? St. Peter said, Jesus who? Never heard of him. Of course you heard of him. You got the same dialect as he's got, the same accent. Never heard of him. Then later on after this denial, Jesus is grilling some fish on the little beach there, the stony little beach at Tabqa, just around from Capernaum. And he sees the disciples fishing and he calls out to them, did you catch any fish? Well, you know, if you've been to Israel, you know that the Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level, so it sort of went like, did you catch any fish, 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 as the echo waves bounced off the Golan Heights? Try the other side, 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 as the echo waves came back to that mountain behind him where he preached the wonderful sermon. And they did, and they caught all these fish, and Peter said, wow, it's the Lord. And he jumped into the water and went to the beach there where the grilled fish were, and he stood there wet and hair disheveled and a mess and dripping. And Jesus said, you son of a gun, I can't believe that that's what you did. Just when I needed you, you let me down. He didn't. God's economy is so contradictory with our understanding. He picked him up. He restored him. He reminded him he's in the kingdom of grace. And he gave, as Dr. Johnson said on Monday morning, he gave him a job to go out and work in the kingdom of grace. And that's what he does to us. And the times in your congregation when you feel like saying it isn't fair, you can argue with God. Go ahead and tell him. It's okay. When you talk to God, the church says that's prayer. When God talks to you, they say it's schizophrenic. But don't worry about that. Just talk with God and tell him. And he'll remind you again that we're in an economy of grace working in his kingdom. And when you tell your people that, and when you reflect it in your life, God will be pleased. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.